from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, BEA beautiful people? It is Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, and you are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you, packed with not one, but yes, two guests on today's show. In just a second, I'll be chatting with Jimmy Fiskus, Lansing United and Michigan State defenseman. In the world of soccer, you do not want to miss that chat. We'll put a bow on the season that was for the Lansing United soccer team. And Jimmy Fiskus yesterday was donned with a pretty cool honor, being selected as a member of the All-Midwest team. So you don't want to miss that chat. We'll also dissect the next steps for the Detroit Tigers. It looks as though all signs are pointing to selling. We'll invite Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, to break it down and to assess if that is the right move. We'll also dive into a certain NBA coach leading the San Antonio Spurs Summer League to a title. Also, a former Michigan State Spartan hooper has made a team or agreed to a deal with a new NBA squad. You don't want to miss that. All of that and so much more. As you can tell, our plate is just really running over right now. We'll also take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527. Without further ado, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, before we dive into the nitty-gritty of our show, we would like to pay homage to a man who meant a lot to many who know sports or just, you know, grew up around this area, to be honest with you. You know, I have been actually covering sports in mid-Michigan dating back to about 2010, so for about 5 years now, dating back to when I was an intern at Channel 6, and then that's when the wheel started to really turn on my coverage and going out to different high schools and meeting different players, meeting different coaches, and just experiencing the unbelievable athletic and sporting culture that's right here in the area. And I didn't get the chance to actually to meet this individual, but, you know, judging from emails and tweets that I've gotten, even a few texts here and there, and things and posts that I've seen on Facebook, this man meant a lot to many in this area. And who I'm talking about, folks, is Leonard Lynn Lapka, who spent decades in the dugout coaching from 1967 to 1978 at Waverly toward the end of his career. He passed away, sadly, over the weekend at the age of 87 years old. Lapka, he was also a beloved teacher at Waverly. He led the Warriors to back-to-back Diamond Classic championships in 1975 to 1976. He was named to the City of Lansing Baseball Coach of the Year in 1975 and in 1995. He was also inducted into the Michigan Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame. I didn't get the chance, as I stated, to meet this unbelievable man, but it is clear, based on the countless reactions to this unfortunate news by many of you out there, Leonard Lynn Lapka meant so much to this area. And before we move on, I want to read a post that that really sort of put in perspective just how much this individual meant. And it comes from actually our friend of Current Sports, Bob Every, who is now the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, also a longtime softball coach at Lansing Community College, you know, a famed boxer as well. Bob had this to say on his Facebook page, and this is what drew the attention of this news to me initially. Bob goes on to say, quote, "We've lost a giant of a man. He's left, gone away, but not before he said what he came to say. He was a teacher, a coach, a person of pride. He touched so many and influenced their lives. Strong and broad, yet gentle and kind, his mark is validated for the rest of our time. Goodbye, Lenny, and thank you for your contributions in my book. You will forever be a man of resolution. Lenny Lapka, rest in peace. All right, let's now dive into our current sports quick hit headliners for this July 21st. This news, hot off the press. Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis has been named Vice Chair of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee for the upcoming season and Chair of the Committee for the 2016-17 academic year. Joe Calesconi, Athletic Director at Oklahoma, will serve as chair for the 2015-16 year. Hollis has been a member of the committee since 2012. Former Spartan Keith Appling has reached a two-year deal with the Orlando Magic. Appling was not drafted following a standout career at Michigan State from 2010 to 2014 and was invited to training camp with the LA Lakers prior to the 2014-15 NBA year. He played in 10 games with the Erie BayHawks, the Magic's NBA D-League affiliate, last season and averaged 17.5 points and 4.7 assists after being acquired in a trade from the LA Defenders. Appling averaged 15.2 points in the Orlando Summer League with the Magic in 5 games this summer, turning in a standout performance. Congrats to Keith. MSU guard Denzel Valentine and his U.S. Pan American men's team will play Venezuela at 9 p.m. tonight on ESPN2 in Toronto. The U.S. team plays Group A preliminary games against Venezuela, Puerto Rico, and Brazil. Group B teams include Argentina, Canada, Dominican Republic, and Mexico. Bob Nightingale of USA Today was told by, quote, several people inside and outside the organization familiar with their strategy, end quote, that the Detroit Tigers plan to make impending free agents David Price and Yoenis Cespedes available. Dombrowski wouldn't go quite that far when reached for comment by Nightingale, but he didn't exactly deny it either, saying, at this point, our focus is trying to win right now. We're trying to do everything we can to qualify for the playoffs. Things can turn dramatically over a 10-game period. But you have to play well at some point on a consistent basis. We're at a point where we have to do what's best in our heart for the franchise. Ian Kinsler's first two-homer game in 4 years included a go-ahead two-run shot with two outs in the eighth, sending the Tigers to a 5-4 win over the Seattle Mariners Monday night at Comerica Park. Alfredo Simon gave up 4 runs over 5 2/3 innings and left with a 4-3 deficit. 9 days after Shane Green was rocked for 7 runs in his return to the big leagues, the young sinker baller will make his first start on the second half tonight at 7:08 p.m. in Game 2 of a 4-game set. Zach Johnson, he claimed the British Open title on Monday after winning a 3-way playoff against Louis Oosthuizen and Mark Leishman. Johnson's first major win came at the Masters in 2007. Oosthuizen finished 1 stroke behind Johnson in the 4-hole playoff. Leishman was 3 strokes behind. And last but not least, NFL teams each received $226.4 million from the NFL as part of a national revenue sharing deal from the 2014 fiscal year. Now, the amount was revealed on Monday when the Green Bay Packers reported their share of the pie. The total surpassed $7.2 billion. And comes mostly from the league's television deals. The national revenue sharing pot, split 32 ways, is up slightly more than $6 billion last year. That's a lot of moolah, folks. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know that number. Probably have it on speed dial as we speak. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air, or even tweet me at @AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show.
Tennis first with a wooden paddle. They were 15 years of struggle and frustration. Only 2 years ago, she was ready to quit, but the State Department asked her to tour Asia and Europe. She won tourney after tourney, regained her confidence, but more important, her game matured. Now she had reached the top, the finals at Wimbledon. She swept Darlene Hard in straight sets, the first Negro in history to win a major tennis title, and was presented with the gold trophy by Queen Elizabeth. Then she completed her historic Grand Slam at Forest Hills, becoming the first Negro to win the U.S. national title.
Welcome to the show. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. That's how you start a show, folks. I would be remiss if I did not recognize today's moment in history. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, and on this day back in 1957, the great Althea Gibson became the first black woman to win a major U.S. tennis title when she won the Women's National Clay Court Singles Competition. How about that? And actually, when I was cutting that bite, there is vintage footage on YouTube of that match, and you can kind of hear it through your speakers when that brief montage played. I mean you can kind of hear the crackling of the old school audio recording devices, but just vintage footage. I was so surprised. I thought it would be a shot in the dark to go on YouTube to see if they had that moment on film or had anyone talking about it at least. And boom, it popped right up. So shout out to Althea Gibson, the first black woman to win a major U.S. tennis title when she won the Women's National Clay Court Singles Competition back in 1957. Historic moment right there. All right, folks. Well, we have a full show. I want to first, before we get to our first guest on today's show, we have two guests on today's show. Of course, Jimmy Fiscus of Lansing United and, of course, a member of the Michigan State men's soccer team. Jimmy will join me in just a sec. Jimmy Fiscus will join me in just a second. Later on, we're going to invite, of course, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcasters, to break down what in the world will the Tigers do before the July 31st trading deadline. But again, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Doing well, Al. Busy day so far. So excited for the show. Two great guests.
Yeah, definitely two great guests. And again, at the top of the hour, again, we wanted to pay homage to a man that I unfortunately didn't get the chance to meet, but I do know of his historic impact on this area when it comes to the world of sports. Again, salute to condolences to the family of Leonard Lynn Lapka, who spent decades in the dugout, coached, the Waverly baseball team toward the end of his career. He passed away over the weekend. He was 87 years old. He was also a teacher at Waverly. He led the Warriors to back-to-back Diamond Classic championships in the 70s. He was named the City of Lansing Baseball Coach of the Year in 1975, and in 1995, he was inducted fittingly into the Michigan Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame. And, I had read the post that Mid-Michigan's own Bob Every, who was the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, a historic boxer from back in the day, had an impressive resume when he was the head coach of the Lansing Community College club softball team. Bob Every had some touching things to say on his Facebook page about Lenny Lapka, and very touching stuff because, again, I was just scrolling through And Bob's post was the very first post that I had seen concerning this unfortunate passing. So, hey, salute to Leonard Lynn Lapka and what he meant to this area. Rest in peace and condolences to his family. All right, well, later on in the show, we're going to get to the Detroit Tigers because everyone's buzzing about the news of the Tigers reportedly selling and putting David Price and Yoenis Cespedes on the trading block. So we'll invite Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster, on the show to get his thoughts on that news. But first, we want to start today's show by first recounting some more news and great news coming out of the wheelhouse of Lansing United. Actually, the National Premier Soccer League announced that the All Midwest teams for the 2015 season include four Lansing United players. Those include Jimmy Fiscus, Quinn McAney, Stephen Owusu, and Austin Dunn. How about that? Jimmy, first team, Quinn, second team, Stephen, honorable mention, and Austin is also honorable mention. Fiscus, a defender, was named to the All Midwest Region first team following his first year with United. Now, the Novi native and Michigan State sophomore started in seven of his eight appearances for Lansing, and he is on the line right now to join us. Jimmy, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks a lot for taking the time to join me on the show today. First off, what was your reaction upon hearing the news that you were selected to the All-Midwest team? Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it was a great honor. You know, I was excited to play for Lansing United. I wanted to actually come out last year, but I had an unfortunate injury. So coming in this year and, you know, giving my all and, you know, having a good season with them was all I could really ask for. And to be honored with that award was just more than I could imagine.
Mind-boggling, huh? Now, Jimmy, for you, you know, this being your first year with Lansing United, how would you assess it? I know, you know, the season ended on Sunday. In a positive note, I mean, you guys got a 3-0 win over the Erie Commodores at home at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. Didn't get a chance to, you know, to birth an appearance in the postseason. But overall, how would you assess this first season as a player with Lansing United from your perspective?
You know, I think we had a really good team, and getting cut short was, you know, obviously not what we wanted. But, you know, we started really strong. You know, we were at the top of the league, and then as time went on, you know, more things started going against us. We lost the last four or five games, you know, and that's how soccer goes, you know. But, you know, I honestly couldn't have asked for a better group to play with. You know, they fought all season long, and some people couldn't play certain games and others could, you know, and we always had to change up the lineup. And even if we didn't make the post game or post playoffs, you know, it was a great plan with them, and it was a great learning experience for me. You know, we should have kept going, but you know, that's how soccer goes.
Now, Jimmy, talking about, you know, on that same notion of it being a learning experience, you are currently entering into your sophomore year at Michigan State for the Michigan State men's soccer team. How has playing with Lansing United this past year evolved your game?
Yeah, I think really the biggest part about playing with Lansing United was the, you know, diversity of players that we had, you know, older guys, younger guys, all different types of players. They helped me evolve my game, especially, you know, playing almost every day throughout the summer, and then, you know, really coaching me and leading me to do, you know, make better decisions and, you know, improve my game. And without them, you know, I would have, you know, summer would have been pointless. And just for all the opportunities they've given me and taught me, I appreciate it so much more going into the season because I just feel like, you know, I'm already just so much better of a player just because of the time I've spent with Lansing.
Now, Jimmy, now that the season is finished with Lansing United, when do you guys start preparing and, you know, just sort of, you know, making sure the wheels are tight for next year's Michigan State men's soccer season? I mean, when does that training start for you and the squad?
Well, we'll actually have some captain practices, you know, August 6th. So that's in a, you know, few weeks. But our preseason will start August 12th. So, I mean, it's coming up real quick, you know, and I'm just glad that, you know, I'm in shape and I've had this opportunity to play with them. So I'm coming ready. I'm about to be ready to be flying.
Jimmy, on that same token, I mean, you're basically playing, you know, you play throughout the summer and you go right into it, just a brief period of rest, and then you go right into it for the Michigan State men's soccer team. How big of a factor is fatigue at all?
What's that?
How big of a factor is fatigue? Do you ever get tired? Is that a worry of yours?
Yeah. It's been a long summer for me. I also did some other stuff on the side, along with Lansing. And I think these few weeks that I have left are going to be me trying to recover fatigue wise. And I'll still run and make sure I'm still in shape. But I think taking a few weeks off is most important for some guys that have been playing all summer, because you don't want to burn yourselves out going into preseason, because preseason will just burn you out even further.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Lansing United and Michigan State soccer player Jimmy Fiskus. Now, Jimmy, looking at this upcoming year for Michigan State, you guys, of course, are losing Ryan Keener to graduation. What would it be like? What will it be like, I should say, filling his shoes?
It would be actually a big honor. He especially, when my first year, he led the way for me. He helped me grow as a player. So just taking his place, it would be tough for me especially, but I think it's an even bigger honor because he was such a great player, and I just want to continue his legacy in the back there, along with Kevin Cope, who even graduated before him.
Yeah, certainly. Now, I know that the schedule was also released for you guys yesterday. Michigan State would actually face, folks, 10 2014 NCAA tournament qualifiers in their 18-match schedule, including six teams that finished in the top NCAA RPI, top 25, and five teams that finished in the NSCAA top 25. Have you looked at the schedule at all, Jimmy, and what dates are you circling on the schedule already?
Yeah, I have. I actually got the chance to see it. Right off the bat, we're heading to Portland, Oregon, which is going to be a great experience for all of the guys. And, those are going to be some two great teams. But I think biggest one will be Maryland at home, because going there last year was crazy experience with all their fans. And obviously they won the Big Ten. So if we can get one at home against them, it would be huge momentum to begin our season. And I know we have, five or six home games right off the bat. So those are going to be really important for us. And they're against really good teams. So I think it's time for us to make a statement at home.
Jimmy, I'm curious, what's the level of soccer and competition like when comparing playing with Lansing United and, comparing that to Michigan State soccer? What's the competition difference like?
I think Big Ten especially is a lot more physical. Guys are fighting for the spots and everything, and there's just more on the line. You got more time to train and everything. Lansing is kind of, players, looking for the summer league and time to play, but it's not any less competitive by any means, because, everyone still fights for a championship. It's just a lot less time. But college is a little different because you have kids that go to, kids that play in the Big Ten are all kids that were stellar growing up, playing with academy leagues and top travel teams. So the competition is really tough, but Lansing United could have kids from all over the place with the international factor too. So that gave a different perspective and a way of playing. So, I was just happy to play for both.
Yes, certainly. That is certainly an honor. And I got a fun question here from our engineer, Isaac Constance, for you. Who would win in a game between the two, Lansing United or the Michigan State men's soccer team?
Oh, God. the choose between those?
Yep.
I'm going to have to stick with my Spartans because, I was here first, but I think it would be a great game.
That would be. What would the score be? Give me a score.
Score? I think it would be a classic 2-1.
Gotcha. Okay. Just kind of a grind out game, huh?
Yeah, it certainly would be.
Now, for you guys, Jimmy, what was the overall emotion when that horn sounded this past Sunday against the Erie Commodores? A 3-0 victory for you guys, but still knowing that the season was now over, what was that emotion like?
Yeah, I think it was, it was all over the place. We had a rough five games before that, and we were all trying to end on a positive note. And we came out and we didn't score any goals the first half, so we knew we only had 45 minutes left with each other for the whole, rest of the season. And I think that hit everybody pretty hard at halftime. So we came out there and we gave it our all. And then once that final whistle blew, it was kind of realization that it was all over. And I just think it was full of sentiment. You know, we all started hugging each other, you know, appreciative of all that each other has given each other. So, I mean, it was tough not making it postseason, but I think the guys really were most concerned with, you know, leaving each other and all the relationship that we've made.
And Matt Brown going out with a bang and scoring two goals on Sunday. What kind of a leader has he been to this team throughout the year?
Yeah, he's been a great influence, and I looked up to him as a leader, especially hoping that I could become a leader for Michigan State one day. You know, he always kept the team in line. You know, he took everything so seriously, but obviously not too serious when it wasn't the right time. But when we needed to pick it up, you know, he was the one to be there. He deserved those two goals at the end of the year. He didn't score too many this season like he did last season. So, you could tell it had a little bit of a toll on him. But to go out and score two goals in the last game with Lansing United ever was, it was great to watch. It was good to see him so happy.
6-4-2 is the record you all finished with this season. And I know you didn't play with United in their first, inaugural year with the squad. But, they were coming off a season, Jimmy, in which they went pretty deep in the playoffs. Very successful year. Coming just short of a postseason berth, do you consider this year a disappointment?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. It was a completely different year. Last year they had a different team, different players. And coming in, we didn't want to base our season off of what happened last year. This was a whole new year. We had the talent to go postseason. Just things went against us, and maybe some mental breakdowns here and there. But I think just focusing on one season at a time was the most important this year.
Yeah, certainly, folks. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Lansing United and Michigan State men's soccer defenseman Jimmy Fiskus. Jimmy, before I get you out of here, of course, this past summer was also pretty cool because the United States women's national soccer team won a World Cup. Pretty cool stuff. And, I've seen over the years now, especially when looking at Lance United's first year, I mean, it was remarkable going to those games at the East Lansing Soccer Complex and seeing the stands basically full. I remember the very first game of last year, that Lansing United played. I mean, it was standing room only. Pretty remarkable scene down there. And it seems as though as the sporting culture is growing here in mid-Michigan. Can you echo those sentiments when looking at this past summer, and did having, the United States women's national soccer team and their presence on television, did that help you guys this year when it came to that hoopla?
Yeah, I think that was a huge part of the culture here in the United States, with our women's team being so good, and young kids, even boys and girls both, are looking up to them and saying, why can't that be me? Everyone's starting to realize how fun it is to watch the game and, be a part of that atmosphere. Especially, Lansing United, we have, the women and the men's have, the American Outlaws, we have the Sons of Ransom here at Lansing, and, people don't appreciate as much how much of an impact they have on the players that are playing, but, we can't live without Sons of Ransom at Lansing, and, the U.S. national team really appreciates the American Outlaws coming to every game. It's just a huge, huge impact on us and our, attitudes. I think kids growing up will notice that, and even people now, older people, will start to realize how fun the game is.
So you do see it growing?
Yeah, I think it's growing a lot, especially, the men are doing really well too, not only the women. So I think it's growing more and more. We have teams coming up in Michigan, Grand Rapids FC and, Oakland United coming to the Great Lakes Division. But I just think it's growing all over Michigan too.
Certainly. All right, Jimmy, Alex Morgan and Lionel Messi, the right choices for the EA Sports FIFA cover. What do you think?
I think they're both, great choices. Obviously, I think Messi is one of the greatest in the world. He's always going back and forth with Cristiano Ronaldo, so he obviously deserved it. And I think it will be good to, see the women's side in a FIFA cover. Alex Morgan's obviously been a huge symbol for the U.S. women's national team, and, especially coming off a World Cup win, I think she deserved it more than any other girl.
Who's your favorite player? I'm curious.
My favorite player would probably be Philipp Lahm in FC Bayern.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, you know who that is? I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah. Bill Plum, great player. I respect that. What's your team?
My favorite team would be Bayern, so okay. I got to side with the Germans.
See, fair enough. Yeah, I'm a Tottenham fan, so Harry Kane, you know, yeah. Gareth Bale, all of them. So.
Yeah, when Bale was there, I loved them too.
Okay, I feel like I'm on Pluto right now. Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Lance United.
Problem.
Hey, thanks a lot, my man. Lance United and Michigan State men's soccer defenseman, Jimmy Fiskus. Hey, Jimmy, great season this year. Looking forward to seeing you on the field for the Michigan State men's soccer team. Should be an exciting year for you.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
The one, the only, Jimmy Fiskus. Gotta love that. Yeah, I don't know who those guys are. My goodness, Isaac, I need to do some research, my man. You know those guys by first name basis, don't you?
Oh, we'll get you watching some games this season. I want to pay some homage to this. The season kicks off two weekends. So I'm all excited about it. It, for me, marks the end of the summertime where you're stranded with baseball. Not that baseball is bad, mm-hmm. but it's just baseball.
Exactly.
So I'm happy about that.
Gotta love that. All right, well, let's hit our first break here. When we come back, we will invite our second guest for today's show. You know him. That's right. Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. He'll break down what in the world is going on with the Detroit Tigers and whether or not selling is the right move for this team before the July 31st trade deadline. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Hey. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. I'll be chatting with a pretty decorated member of the Michigan State track and field team who just wrapped up her senior season and will be looking to turn pro. That's right, Tori Franklin. Tori Franklin will be in the his house. If you want to join me join us, I should say, in the WKAR TV studios, you know what you got to do. All you simply got to do is go to WKAR.org, you know, find the respective link, click it, sign up online for free, and then it's just a matter of showing up. Should be a fantastic time. We've actually had Tori on the radio show, and I tell you what, she's not shy. She is a master of the mic. That's what I called her when she left. I mean, she is a natural. So you do not want to miss that. Also, you know what, Isaac? I didn't bring up this, my man. Did you see the video of Zach Johnson's birdie putt on the 72nd hole on Monday, which was clutch because it put him at 15 under and eventually putting him in that playoff with Louis Oosthuizen and Mark Leishman. And, of course, he went on to win that playoff. But that birdie putt, first off, it was absolutely redonkulous. I mean, I don't know how many feet it was, but it was a long putt. And, you know, I initially, when I first saw it, I looked at Zach Johnson. You know, he goes to the ground on both knees. He gives the fist pump. Then he gives another fist pump. I mean, he shows a lot of emotion. But I didn't see this. And this video is kind of blowing up the world of social media. But Damon Green, who is his caddy, celebrated in an even cooler way. When the putt, right before it sank in, you know, was about to go in, Damon, who has the flag, you know, in his hand, he throws up his left arm, and it's a fist pump, and then he does the coolest birdie dance you will ever see, kind of flopping, you know, both arms like their wings, like he's a falcon in the air or something like that. If you haven't seen it, folks, that should be your laugh for the day because it is unbelievably cool. Did you see that, Isaac?
I'm going to have to check that out. But, Al, I think makes that even more amazing. I think that was the 18th hole because
yeah.
He bogeyed the 17th and then birdied the 18th. He would have been out of it. Really an incredible shot, but sounds like the celebration's very fitting and matches it. So I'll have
so
to watch
cool.
that.
I did that dance, actually, as my pregame warm-up. Before we took the air today, okay? It's pretty cool stuff. All right, folks, well, let's invite our second guest for today's show. Now, interesting news. Bob Nightingale of USA Today was told, quote, by several people inside and outside the organization familiar with their strategy, end quote, that the Detroit Tigers plan to make impending free agents David Price and Yoenis Cespedes available. Dombrowski wouldn't quite go that far when reached for comment by Nightingale, but he didn't exactly deny it either. Here's what Dombrowski had to say, quote, at this point, our focus is trying to win right now. We are trying to do everything we can to qualify for the playoffs. Things can turn dramatically over a 10-game period, but you have to play well at some point on a consistent basis. We are at a point where we have to do what's best in our hearts for the franchise, end quote. Well, let's invite him on the show. You guys know him. He's been on the show multiple times, even has graced your current sports TV airwaves not too long ago. Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich, how you doing, my man?
Well, you know, I've been giving this whole thing a lot of thought in terms of that Tigers situation, mm-hmm. and it has seemed to me to be. And by the way, I'm fine, thanks.
Hey, no problem.
Can't see out of my right eye, but that's a that's a whole other story because I detached my retina. I'll be fine in a month. I should be fine in time for football season.
Hold on, Rich. You said you have a detached retina?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I'm praying for you, my man. I hope you get better.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, they reattached it. The surgery actually was pretty cool.
Wow.
And the guy who performed it told me at my first post-op visit that he himself had the procedure done on him. And
so
that gave me a great deal of peace of mind because you're talking about this guy detaches his retina and he bounces back to the point where he can perform eye surgery, very delicate eye surgery.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's great. But I'm thinking, I wonder why he didn't tell me, prior to surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then it occurred to me, had he done so, I would have said, well, give me that guy then.
Right.
give me the guy that did yours.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, it's all good. It's just interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
A little bit to not be able to see out of the one eye and the adjustments you make. But nobody tuned in to hear me talk about my eyes.
I just wanted to wish you well.
It was the article today in USA Today. Yeah, see, I kind of thought that I'd be breaking ground here, not in terms of news, but in terms of thinking about this whole deal, because I've been thinking about this pretty hard now for the last, 7-10 days,
mm-hmm.
about the approach the Tigers need to take the trade deadline this year. And everybody said, look, they're 9.5 out. Yes, it's possible they could catch Kansas City, theoretically. I mean, let's face it, you can make up 7 games in a week, right? As long as you win 7 in a row and the team you're chasing happens to lose 7 in a row. I mean, it's not unheard of to make up a big deficit. But 9.5 is a lot. The odds are way against you at this point. And now everybody's saying, well, geez, they're only 4 games out of a wild card. Here's my problem with that, Al. The wild card, it's a 1-game playoff. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and you take 2 teams that have got win totals in the high 80s, and you're going to play 1 game, and you may as well flip a coin. I mean, your odds are going to be 50-50 as I look at it.
Right.
In any wild card game, and then you say, well, maybe you get home field advantage. I have to look it up, but I think the first 3 wild card games that there have been, the road team has won. No, Kansas City won at home in extra innings last year against Oakland. So I think they're the only home team to win the wild card game. But be that as it may,
mm-hmm.
and remember that was Casey. They were way behind in the 8th inning and had the big comeback, and when they won it in the 12th, it was a great ball game. But the point is, it's just a coin toss, basically.
Right,
a
1-game
playoff.
Right.
So how much do you want to risk on your ability to have that coin come up, if you'd called heads to have it come up heads like that. So my inclination right now, and they've still got, 10 days to go, 11 days to go before the trade deadline, but my inclination right now is I think you got to blow this thing up.
You do.
David Price, of course, is a free agent at the end of the year. Okay,
right.
So there's no guarantee. In fact, I would say the odds are against him re-signing with Detroit because somebody's going to offer. He's 29. Somebody's going to offer him. I don't know if it's going to be at max Scherzer dollars, but it's going to be close to it. Somebody's going to offer him a contract, in the $170 to $200 million range.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Tigers I'm not sure about the financial wherewithal or the desire to spend that much. Because remember, you've got Justin Verlander here who's under contract through 2019, and he's got his total deal is worth over $200 million. Anibal Sanchez is signed through 2017. His overall deal, he's got an $80 million contract. The thing that's remember when the season started, they were 11-2, and Alfredo Simon was unbeatable. And you remember a guy named Kip Young by any chance?
Kip Young? No, that name doesn't ring a bell.
Exactly. Kip Young debuted with the Tigers in 1978 and went 4-0. Alfredo Simon was the first Detroit pitcher since Kip Young to win his first four decisions as a Tiger. And we all thought, gosh, this is what a great find this was going to be, right? Mm. And they started 11-2, looked like they were just going to, you know, do what people thought they were going to do and be a great baseball team. And remember, they were doing it without Justin Verlander. And remember when Verlander got hurt back in mid-spring training or mid-March at any rate? Mm. They said, oh, he'll be off for a few days. And then it turned out a few days turned out to be June,
right.
And now that he comes back, he's got an ERA of 6.62. And it's just, I think what really struck me was the other day, in his last start there, and he gives up that three-run home run that essentially cost him the ball game. They're playing Baltimore, right? And he gives up a three-run shot in what was a 3-1 game now. All of a sudden, it's a 6-1 game. We tried to beat the guy with a fastball, and the fastball was 92 miles an hour. Now, JV's fastball used to be 97, 98 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, something ain't right here, okay?
Right.
If he's lost that much velocity on the fastball. So what I would do would be that I'd shut him down for the rest of the year. You know, just rest it. See if he can come back and be the Justin Verlander that we've come to know and love. I just think there's something wrong there. David Price, again, free agent at the end of the year. I don't think I think it's unlikely he re-signs with Detroit. Just for what I said, somebody's going to offer him one of these Max Scherzer type contracts, and he'll be on his way. So you may as well get something for him.
Right.
He is a rental. Because, again, of the free agency issue at the end of the year. The biggest free agent name on the market at the trade deadline last year was John Lester. And he was a rental because he was a free agent at the end of the year. And he wound up being traded by Boston to Oakland, and Oakland traded Jonas Cespedes to Boston, and it turned out to ruin Oakland's season, but that is, of course, another season or another story. What the Tigers, I think, need to do here is get as much value for Price as they can. Usually that means a premier prospect. And I think I would settle for that at this point. This pitching staff, the starting staff, has to be rebuilt. Of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball, the Tigers' earned run average is 27th at 4.33. And you look at these starters' numbers, and yeah, it was nice that Alfredo Simon put it into. Have you heard the term disaster start? It's a new phrase. If you start a game and you allow more earned runs than innings pitched, it's now called a disaster start. And
right.
Simon went into the game last night with five straight disaster starts.
Yeah.
So he got off to a pretty good start for the Tigers, as we talked about, but he pitched well last night. However, this guy's splits. Like last year, he was an all-star. He was 12-3 in the first half of the season for Cincinnati. Second half, he was 3-7. And his ERA went from 2.7 in the first half to 4.6 in the second half. So that tells me, you know, this guy's not as good in the second half as he is in the first. And I looked at his career second half numbers, same story. He's better in the first half, so I'm not sure that there's a lot of help there. Shane Green, God, it was so bad they had to send him back down to the minors. I mean, he's just been awful this year. ERA is 6.32. Among the starters, the only guy with an ERA worse is Justin Verlander at 6.62. That's why, you know, I'd shut him down. Simon's a question mark. Anibal Sanchez, 4.55. That's based. He's pitched very well lately, but he had a seven-game stretch where his earned run average was 6.85. So out of the five starting pitchers, And the only guy putting up decent numbers is David Price. And again, since I don't think they're going to re-sign him, I would trade him now. I'd try to get a prospect. I think about trading Victor Martinez at this point. He hasn't. He's 39 years old now. Mm-hmm. There have been players who've had really good years after the age of 40. Ted Williams had a great year after he turned 40, but. You know, this is an aging ball player. My concern with him right now is he's still battling back from those injuries. He's only got, it seems to be, warning track power anymore. So, you know, really, when I look at this team, there's I'd keep Iglesias. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think is the best shortstop in the game right now.
Right.
I like Ghost in center field. I think any time that Brad Austin doesn't have Ghost in center field and McCann behind the plate, he is not playing his best two players at those particular positions. So to me, those, you know, like I would, those, to me, Iglesias would be an untouchable. McCann would be an untouchable, and J.D. Martinez, who thankfully is not a free agent at the end of the year, would also be an untouchable. But other than that, I'd make deals. I'd tear this thing down and pretty much start over. Because again, and they're not going to get Cabrera back. It'd probably be mid August.
Right, exactly. Yeah, mid August.
It may well be too late by mid August.
And you know, dealing Price, you know, I kind of have to agree with, you know, ESPN baseball expert Jason Stark, who I listened to on Mike and Mike this morning. And you know, same thing that you just made this point as well, Rich. I mean, if you do the math, they owe $105 million next year to Miguel Cabrera, Justin Verlander, Victor Martinez, Ian Kinsler, and Anibal Sanchez. Where in the world is there room for another $30 million contract? So dealing Price definitely makes sense. And, Rich, I want to start from the very foundation of this thing before we get you out of here. How did we get to this point? And you all know, and you know especially how the sports world is, especially from a fan perspective. Fans out there, when you talk about, you know, selling the Tigers right now, and we're still in July, again, how do we get to this point? And who should the fingers be pointed at, and for responsibility for why this team has been underperforming the way it is?
You got to this point by trading Doug Fister for Ian Kroll 2 years ago. You had a reliable top four starter in your staff, and you dumped him for nothing. I believe it was a salary move. I think their troubles started right there. The troubles this year, of course, easy to pinpoint, as we talked about. Justin Verlander not making his first start of the season until June would be the number one thing here. The number two issue would be Victor Martinez not being able to come back from an injury. So right off the hop, you've lost two of the premier players in baseball. I mean, Victor hit 32 dingers last year, mm-hmm. right? And now all of a sudden his bat is no factor at all. I mean, they had to sit him down there for a couple of weeks to see if he'd get better. But when I look at this whole thing, I think all their troubles started when, and I say they traded, when Dave Dombrowski traded Doug Fister a couple of years ago. And of course, the other key factor is the fact that, you know, you don't have Max Scherzer to throw out there every fifth day anymore. So I think you put those three things together, and that's what's sounded the death knell for this team. What has stunned me is how rapid the descent has been. I'm not sold. I hate to say this because it's a man's job, but I am not sold on Brad Ausmus as a manager. I think he's in over his head. But at the end of the day, the finger is pointed at Dave Dombrowski, and his contract is up at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see if they bring him back, because he's gotten close. I mean, his overall track record, you know, he's gotten so close mm-hmm. so often. But Mike Ilitch, you know, really wants a championship team. But at the same time, all of this spending, it hasn't got done. It reminds me of Gene Autry. When free agency first came in, he was the owner of the California Angels. And he would go out there and buy the best free agents every season. And it never, ever resulted in a championship for his team. I think there's a thing out there, well, the Yankees, I guess, would prove me wrong. But in the main, it seems to me you cannot buy a championship team. You've got to, you can add free agents as pieces, but guys that come up through the organization that have played together in the minors, that seems to me to be the better route. So, but right now that they've traded away so much of the good young talent, especially pitching, in their minor league system, that the, you know, that cupboard's bare. So to get him, you're not going to get as much for David Price as you would in the Tigers situation last year, where they knew at least they were getting him for a year and a half. Because again, the team that acquires him would only have him until the end of the season. So you won't get as much, but you can certainly get that team's best prospect for him, and maybe another piece to the puzzle. But it's sad to say, but I've come to the conclusion that it's not worth the risk just to get into a single game where you got a 50-50 chance of winning to keep this thing together. I think you got to go back. And I think the other thing is to drive an Illich nuts to this. You take a look at a team like Kansas City, whose payroll is way, way, way less than Detroit's. And there they are, 9.5 games ahead of the Tigers. And having been in the World Series last year, I think that really eats at him.
Folks, he covers all of his bases. The one, the only, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster. Rich, always a pleasure. We got to get you on pretty soon again, my man.
I appreciate it, Al. Thanks. I always enjoy it.
Thanks a lot. Man, Rich is great. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on the show by giving you our thoughts on this whole Detroit Tigers situation, as well as break down a certain coach in the NBA that is making history, really making history, and also a former Michigan State hoop star who is finally making his NBA dream come true. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Just 7 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and get a quick call in, give your thoughts on anything that we've discussed here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Gotta love Rich Kincaid, Isaac. He covers all of the bases, as I stated, to conclude that interview. I mean, he touched on everything. He did my job for me in that interview, didn't he?
It made it easy for you. Whoa. You only had to ask a couple questions, and I know more about the Tigers than I ever thought I would.
I'm telling you, Rich is great, and you know, he loves the game of baseball. I remember when we had Rich actually on Current Sports TV, and Rich talked about how he tries to watch just about every single baseball game on every single day. He's got like the MLB package where he can just sit back and watch, and you know how many games are in a respective franchises, baseball year, 160 plus games. And he's sitting there watching as many as he can. He kind of reminds me of Fred Heumann, sports director at Channel 6, because Fred was like that too. He's a big baseball guy. I couldn't do it. I could do that with NBA. I love the NBA that passionately. But baseball is just so many games. So many games, my head would explode. Literally. I kid you not. I was right on with Rich on what he had to say with the Detroit Tigers, because right now, and again, it's kind of weird that you're talking about the future of this team when you are still right in the middle of the season. I mean, you just finished up the All-Star break last week, and, you know, the Tigers had such a poor outing this past weekend, you know, with the injury to Miggy, with the trade deadline now just, 10 days away. It's like, okay, what do you do right now? And again, you know, I had to certainly agree with, again, I brought up, you know, the quote that Jason Stark had on this morning's Mike and Mike show on ESPN. And again, you look at the moolah from a business standpoint. I mean, you owe 100 plus million to Cabrera, Verlander, Martinez, Kinsler, Sanchez. Where is there any room for David Price in that discussion? So I do think that you do got to ship David Price to see what you can get. I'm seeing, rumors out there, countless rumors, on what the Tigers are going to get in return. I'm seeing right now that it's a rumor out there that they have inquired about Colorado Rockies closer John Axford. He's a guy that his name has been floating around left and right. But I do believe that, hey, you got to put those guys out there, Price and Cespedes, and see what you can get, because, you know, you want to prepare and make sure that your squad is intact and can still compete in future years rather than trying to force a situation. But, hey, there are fans out there to say, hey, you're only four games in back of that wild card spot. Why not play this thing out and play to win? Which the Tigers are going to certainly do. They're going to do that with the personnel that they have for this squad. Whether or not that will transition into W's is yet to be seen. But right now, it doesn't look good. So why not think futuristically for this team? I think that's what Dave Dombrowski, with his quote that we talked about earlier, is doing. Because he didn't come out and flatly deny, hey, you know, we're not selling this team. He didn't come out and say that. He just said, hey, we're playing to win. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really pleased with Dombrowski's decision, according to the rumors, because the thing is, too many general managers, at the end of the day, it's their job to assemble a great team and win games, but too many don't know when to call it quits, and it ends up costing the franchise for 10 years in the future. You saw the Celtics rebuilding well in the NBA, getting rid of their prospects. Yeah, they're not going to be that good for a couple years, but it's still decent. As for the Tigers, if they acquire some young talent, maybe some cheaper talent that's not as good as Price or Cespedes, but cheaper, then if this team can grow together and mesh together, then they've got a chance to compete once again. But even if they make the playoffs, like you said, four games out, what are they going to do? They're not going to advance around, I don't think. And stranger things have happened, but no, I mean, I think it's time to call quits on this season.
Oh, boy. Sad to say, too, huh? 517-355-9527. Looks like we're running out of time, actually. Guys, if you want to weigh in on this subject, go to our Facebook page, actually, and leave us a comment there, facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Quick thoughts here. 3 minutes left in the show. Becky Hammon. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. She made history, becoming the first female head coach in the NBA Summer League. She actually led the San Antonio Spurs to the Las Vegas Summer League Championship. And, man, was it sweet seeing that. She coached the Spurs actually to a 93-90 victory over the Phoenix Suns on Monday's title game. And, you know, now the question comes up now whether or not, Isaac, we will see a female head coach, you know, in the NBA in the next, you know, in the recent future here. Do you think that will happen?
I think it's a matter of time. I do. And I think Becky Hammon is, first off, a fantastic coach. And I don't think she could be under better tutelage than anybody than Greg Popovich. We've talked about this plenty of time. Greg Popovich products go on to do great things in the NBA. So I think Hammon deserves a shot, and I think she'll eventually get one within 3 or 4 years.
I have to respectfully disagree. And I'm going to go into more depth on to why I disagree. I had a whole spiel plan, but again, we had such a jam-packed show. I just think that, again, if the players had, you know, the end-all, be-all decision as to who they wanted as their head coach, oh, without a doubt, Becky Hammon would be coaching next year. The players respond to her very, very well. She's a no-nonsense type of an individual. And she proved it in the summer league. She got a lot out of the players that she coached. But I just think that politics, unfortunately, comes so much into conversations like this, and that's why we won't see it for a while. But Becky Hammon, if there is going to be one, she is going to be that one. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow. Also discuss Keith Appling's new deal with the Orlando Magic. Fantastic stuff. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. Thanks a lot to Jimmy Fiscus and Richard Kincaid. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And be easy, people.